time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a busy weekend across Scottish football. It's as you were at the top, with Celtic beating Ross County by a goal to nil, but some fans weren't happy with what they saw. Rangers had temporarily closed the gap with a win at St Mirren and now close in on two new signings. And there were big wins for the likes of Dundee and Hearts as Livy and Aberdeen's woes continue. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Motherwell's Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
Well, we're now less than 80 hours from the transfer window slamming shut, as it always does. Rangers close to Jeff Day and Oscar Cortez after already getting Fabio Silva and Mohamed Diamande. Celtic still looking to add to Nicholas Coon as they seek to defend the Premiership title. And Hearts have landed Jan Danda in a pre-contract and could do something similar with James Penrice. Now, I fully expect to see you, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL Thursday night, yellow ties, here to 11:30 p.m.
Yeah, Jan Danda and James Penrice, obviously Hearts have freed up some big money recently. Andy, what did you make of the weekend's action?
I made it was professional. Why are you laughing?
It's your big money that they've freed up.
You missed that.
Oh, is that right? I missed that pun there.
It's your big contract that's been ripped up.
Well, there was certainly some professional performances, but not pretty or sexy, as Philippe Clement would call them.
Indeed.
Certainly plenty of VAR drama that I can't wait to get into with Mr. Roger Hannah to my left of me as well. And this is the last Monday I'll be doing before the transfer deadline. If I'm not sitting here next week with Rangers and Celtic having a cup win the door, I'd be amazed.
Amazed, he says. What about you? 0141 951 1025. Everything is underpinned by that transfer window at the moment, I suppose. So if you want to talk transfers, targets, rumours, speculation, we are here for you. If you want to get a bit more specific about the games at the weekend, let's do that. Celtic fans, how do you feel? Because the open line on Saturday, if you had just turned on the radio unaware of the scores, you would definitely have thought Celtic had lost. It had that feel about it. There was a lot of negativity. Is that right? Is it wrong? Is that about the high standards that are set? Is it an overreaction? How do you feel? Because there's been a lot said. And maybe to go back to that earlier point, is it actually all underpinned by the fact that you're not happy with transfers so far? Let us know. 0141 951 1025. Get your thoughts in. Rangers fans, as Andy and Philippe Clement said, it was not sexy. Is that fine? You just take those types of days on the road. Maybe a good 3 points come the end of the season. Is there anything specifically on the game you want to look out for? Give us a call. But I suspect, more interestingly, looking like Cortez and Jeffrey, two new signings. They all seem to be sort of coming out of the blue, so to speak. Not in the building yet, but it looks like they're heading that way. How satisfied are you with the way Rangers appear to be going about their business? It was a good weekend for Dundee, a bad weekend for Livy. Aberdeen fans are grumbling. Motherwell just keep drawing all the time, as we'll get Andy Halliday's thoughts on as well. And if there's anything else we missed, 0141 951 1025. To set the scene, result of the weekend, Roger.
Result of the weekend, I'm going to go for Dundee. I know Livingston are bottom of the league, I know that they've struggled this season, but Dundee, new to the league, if you can go away from home in the Premiership, score four goals, and the last two of those goals coming when they were down to 10 men, I think Tony Dougherty would be pleased with his Saturday afternoon's work.
Not loads of choices then that leaves you. What are you giving it?
And listen, Mr. Clement said it wasn't sexy, but I'm going to put it in context for the week at hand. After having 3 weeks off, coming after the winter break, obviously a tough pitch against Dumbarton, but then going into two very tough away fixtures in Hibs and St Mirren, to come away from it absolutely not pretty, but vital three points for Rangers.
Okay. A goal of the weekend then. I think you
this
did have good choices.
This is you go first. These are going to be prettier, Roger.
Your serve, Andy Halliday.
It's that man again, Lauren Shankland. Oh, I think the type of finish it was. It's a very, very hard technique on its own, but the fact it's a still ball and the fact that his body's still as well, and he has to generate all the power himself, and the technique he showed to beat a good goalkeeper in Kelly Bruce. What a finish it was.
I'll go to the other side of Edinburgh. Joan Yule, Hibernian in the 2-2 draw, down with Kilmarnock at Rugby Park, balling from the right, and an exquisite finish with his right foot into the top corner. It kick-started the Hibs comeback, and it just shows he can operate with both feet, unlike Gordon DL.
So it didn't come off his shin or his ankle?
Listen,
have we been harsh?
Don't detract from a
finish. That was a great finish. Very similar to James Cragan's last week, yeah. Spartans, in terms of type of technique.
Fine, I'm happy with that. Howler of the weekend. I feel like we're really back. All this winter break and Scottish Cup stuff, a full card, Scottish Premiership Saturday, there were howlers. Who are you going? Go first.
I'll go Lewis Palmer. Anybody can miss a penalty. Your pal Lon Shanklin's proved that recently, Andy. But to miss two in a minute after he get let off the hook with the retake, great saves by George Wickens, the young Ross County lone goalkeeper. But just adds to Celtic's problems from 12 yards this season. Livingston's have been highlighted at the bottom of the league. Celtic's have probably been masked a little bit by the fact they're winning most of the games, regardless of the penalty record. But I think Lewis Palmer might well be off the spot kicks.
Yes, not great. Andy, who was your howler?
Well, I think when I come into the office at 5:15 every Monday, sometimes I'm struggling to find a howler, such as how perfect our Scottish game is. But number one, I was spoilt for choice. Number two, I was very passionate about this individual incident at the weekend.
Okay.
Dabba's red card for Kilmarnock, for me, is never in a million years a red card. I think Grant Irvin gets his original decision spot on in terms of the yellow card. Even then, the way I would like to see the game refereed slightly different, but I think it falls into the realm of the yellow card. And then Nick Walsh sent him at the monitor. For him to change his mind for what he's seen, for me, was a very poor decision.
You agree with that?
I do agree with it, to be perfectly honest with you. Derek McInnes' quotes after the game really interesting. He queried why Nick Walsh wasn't the ref and Grant Irvin, the less experienced official, wasn't in the VAR truck, if you like. And just, it's one of them. You know yourself, sometimes when you see these red card challenges, either getting a red card straight away or retrospectively, you sort of wince and you say, oh, I can see why they've sent him off. I couldn't really see why they had sent Corey and Dabba off.
Okay, well, you could debate that amongst yourselves. Andy Halliday's not got the argument he was looking for. I suspect he thought Roger was going to go against him. 01419511025, Kelly fans.
We'll get on.
And that leaves us with top man, top performer of the weekend.
Well, I think Dundee's relationship with Burnley is already flourishing, because that man, Michael Mellon, making his debut, coming on the last 30 minutes, Roger quite rightly gave it as a result of the weekend, and a big part of it was down to that man coming on. Two assists, goal, completely turned the game in Dundee's favour, and yeah, it was a fantastic performance.
I mean, maybe pushed a bit harder than he should have for one of the assists. Maybe that's another incident referees might want to get involved in.
Yep.
For you then, top man, top performer, I don't think there were there loads of other options. I'm not sure.
Well, one of the last times I tipped him to be mentioned in this show, I tipped him to be player of the year a couple of years ago, and they still slaughtered me. But I thought John Souter performed very well for Rangers in that win at St Mirren. I think Rangers only lost 4 goals away from home in the league this season. That was back to back clean sheets on the road. And the late block from Alec Gogic probably preserved the clean sheet, so he gets a nod.
Okay, 01419511025. Let's dive in with Ross, who's on the line. Ross, Celtic won at the weekend, but fans don't seem happy. Why, and where do you sit on it?
Well, first, hi, Gordon, Roger and Andy.
Hey, hello, Ross.
First of all, Andy, good luck in your move to Motherwell. Hope it all works out for you.
Thank you very much.
Well said.
In terms of obviously the situation now, Gordon, I think Celtic Saturday, you're going to get performances like that. Look at Rangers, 1-0. I'll take it, and I think the only positive for the weekend is we won 1-0, kept a clean sheet, and I think that's the only positive I can think of. Situation at the moment just now, I think, is getting alarming, because we're sitting here with 3 days to go, still no striker in the door, and if anybody at Celtic is sitting there looking at that thinking that we don't need a striker, they're kidding us on, because we get away with it on Saturday. We had a deflected goal that won us the game. That is just baffling to start with because it's Ross County, but again, you get games like that, I'll take it. But
so this is more about transfers than the performance at the weekend for you then? Is it just a bad combination at the moment?
I think it's a bad combination, but I think Celtic fans are frustrated right now because I'm sure Roger said, and I could be wrong, that he wanted three or four in this window. He said he wanted three or four signings, and here we are, 3 days to go with one winger and no striker. That is just, it's concerning.
It seems like it is all linked, Roger and Andy. If Celtic had won 1-0 like that, in that manner at the weekend, but fans woke up on Sunday to three new bumper signings, you know, maybe we wouldn't have had the reaction. Is it just a, like I said to Ross, is it a bad combination at the moment?
It's a strange one when goals are scored so early. If Celtic beat Ross County 1-0 and they score in the 97th minute with a deflected goal, then there's a euphoria among the Celtic supporters as they file out the stadium. You've seen how many times the Celtic won with late goals, and you get calls on a Monday saying those are the wins that win you championships. And the fact that Alistair Johnson scored before most of the other games had even kicked off doesn't seem to matter to supporters. They then said the next 89 minutes weren't very good, therefore, we'll boo. I think Ross is right. I think the transfer element of this month is probably why they were booing more than the fact that they beat Ross County. I assume Celtic have something up their cuff between now and 11:30 p.m. on Thursday.
How sure would you be of that? I think that's clearly what the fear of, you know, that Ross and other fans demonstrating.
No, I'm not sure. I'm going from history, from the fact that we've seen this type of thing before, not necessarily from Celtic, but from some clubs. Supporters get anxious, they get fretful, they phone this show and complain, and then about 90 minutes before the deadline passes, a centre forward and a left back wheeled out, and everybody kisses and makes up. So I assume Celtic are working away and have something up their cuff to be unveiled before Thursday night. If they don't, then an awful lot of Ross's fellow Celtic fans will be on this show on Friday night.
I can understand it with Ross's call. I don't feel like the result and performance in isolation is the reason for the reaction at full-time whistle. I do feel as if it's that pent-up frustration, the lack of transfer activity, especially with a lot of Rodgers' remarks leading up to January, was he wanted three or four, like Ross says, ready-made transfers to come in and help the team throughout the end of the season. And for the outside looking in, I could imagine if Celtic fans had seen Celtic sign even two, and one was a left back and one was a striker, I think they've been satisfied enough. If they could get a third in, being at a winger or somebody else in the front three, great. But I think the fact that the only transfer they've done is an area of the pitch that doesn't seem like an immediate priority, whereas when you look at the situation striker wise just now, Kyogo clearly not in the form he is last year, and him being the only striker available. And Bernabe, again, I talked about it in the Hearts game when he made his first appearance in what felt like about 3 years, come out for nowhere. With Greg Taylor fit, is the only available left back at the moment.
So, I mean, Ross, there has been a lot of negativity after the game. Is it on the nose for you? Has it been over the top? Are you relaxed about the picture overall, or have you concerns that this season turns out to be a bad one?
If you're asking me right now, I'm relaxed in terms of the situation with the league, because I think the league will go down to the wire between Celtic and Rangers, so I'm relaxed at the moment. My concerns at the moment are, come Friday, if we don't get a striker in, then we leave ourselves open for, let's just say, for us to be short in numbers at the top, because touch wood, if it was to happen to Kyogo, where do we go from there? And I think that's the concern, that we're basically leaving ourselves open, and if Celtic don't get a striker and we lose the league, then I think the board need to take a right good look at themselves.
I'd love to know the timing of all and how it works, be a fly in the wall, if you like, because this is blown apart if Celtic go and get a striker in really in the next couple of days. As it stands at the moment, Kyogo could have been called up by Japan.
Yeah,
you know, and he wasn't, obviously. Yeah. So was that a case of waiting to find out if he was, or is that irrelevant completely? Do you know what I mean? Like, is there a bit of luck involved here, or is this all under control?
Well, you have to believe that it's under control and there are players coming into the football club. A lot of the focus in the window just now has been about keeping Matt O'Riley. Brendan Rodgers was vociferous on Friday that Matt O'Riley would be going nowhere in this window. But, you know, that's maybe not enough. Keeping players tends not to be enough for supporters. They want to see exciting new players. As Ross said, you know, if something had happened to Kyogo in the Ross County game at the weekend, be it an injury or a very uncharacteristic red card and a suspension coming up, where do they go? You know, Pittodrie on Saturday isn't an easy game. Easter Road next Wednesday night isn't an easy game.
Brendan Rodgers says he's used to the booing that he heard at the end from some fans after the game on Saturday.
I've had that since I've been here. It's not the result, it's me. No, it's me, the board. So all we can do as a team is win games and try to improve and develop and win. And that's what the team have done. So the team and ourselves, the staff, we work very hard every day, so we're very much together. And that's how we'll continue to be. And if it falls below the expectation, then we'll do everything we can to be better.
Now, we put that clip on social media on Saturday, and I noticed that a lot of Celtic fans weren't really not convinced is the wrong word, but weren't really happy with the tone of it, if that's right. I mean, Roz, I don't know what you felt. Roz, who's on the line, how do you look back on events over the weekend?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it was a pretty dismal affair altogether. It was my birthday on Saturday. Thank you so much. Extra special day, not that every day going to Parkhead isn't special. I was in section 107, so obviously in the first half I had a bird's eye view of both of the penalties. I forgave the first penalty because he limped up to take it and it looked to me like the goalkeeper was off his line, so I kind of forgave that one, and that's ultimately, you know, what happened. But the second one was just unforgivable, not to take away the save from the Ross County keeper. But the point I want to make is, after Palmer missed the second penalty, he was laughing. Now, I didn't watch the TV highlights back, so I don't know, but he was laughing, and he just laughed his way through the next 30 seconds. So I don't know, from you guys as footballers' points of view, is that just nerves? Is that embarrassment? But it did not go down well with the support. And it's an embarrassment for somebody to miss two penalties and be standing there laughing. What was that about? Second point I'd want to make is, excuse me, I was heading back to Ayrshire, so admittedly I had to leave at 80 minutes. Don't like to do it, but I did. But I was walking down London Road to Brigton train station, and there was hundreds of Celtic supporters walking as well, who'd also left early. So that's the other point. And finally, I'd like to say, listening to Brendan Rodgers in his post-match interview, he's just not the manager he was before. He used to have vigour, passion, strength, and everything he was saying. And you listen to him now in the post-match interviews, and it's just, I just don't know what to say. So I'll put that to you and maybe get your opinion.
Let's start with the third point first, because we've just heard Brendan Rodgers. Like I said, look, we put it on Twitter on Saturday night. I don't know if people care about these types of things, but it's got like over a million views. Yeah. For what I thought at the time was quite a, I didn't think it was going to have that much of an impact, put it that way. And under it, just loads of Celtic fans, obviously some defending it, but just kind of saying like, what was this tone all about? And not really understanding why he came across that way. I don't know. Do we just analyse these things too close?
I don't think we do, no. It's not been the same since he came back. Now, the first time Brendan Rodgers was here, it was an era of unparalleled success. There was quadruple trebles. There was as many trophies as you wish to see. There was flamboyant football. There were goals. And the bond between manager and the support was unbreakable. Then it broke the day he went to Leicester City. And there were some among the Celtic support, and you can go back and listen to the calls we took in this show, Gordon, who didn't necessarily roll out the red carpet for Brendan Rodgers coming back. And the relationship has never been the same. Celtic supporters will tell you the football isn't the swashbuckling type they grew used to during Ange Postecoglou's 2 years at the club. They don't like the fact, many of them, that he walked out on them to go to Leicester in the first place. And there have just been a few moments through the season, the moments being criticism of his team, booing of players, booing of results, the way the Green Brigade have been in and out of the stadium, depending on their relationship with the club. And as Ross said, it's not been the same. I think he's, you know, Ross says he's a different manager. He's still working his hard. He's still trying desperately to get the results. He's still got the team top of the league, you have to remember. You know, as we sit here, they're 5 points clear of Rangers, having played a game more. I think these next 80 hours or so are going to be crucial to Celtic's season and crucial to how Brendan Rodgers rebuilds his relationship with his support.
I'll take Ross's word for it. I wasn't there. I didn't see Luis Palma smiling or laughing. I don't know if
he did. I saw it in the telly.
If he wants to show off his new teeth after he's had his braces off, we've all been there. I don't know, Andy. Can that just be a sort of like a nervous thing, a disbelief thing? Should we hang him for that too much?
Well, I've been unfortunate enough to miss a penalty in my career myself, and you do have that inner sense of you want the ground to open up, swallow you up, but that sense of embarrassment, you know, 60,000 have watched you, but then when you get the opportunity to retake it, pick the same side, pick the same run up, which I've never been a fan of, and the goalkeeper saves it again, for me it probably is just that sense of embarrassment and sort of laughs it off. It doesn't look great on the telly, but I'm sure he's as disappointed as anyone. But I mean, Roger gave it his howling. For me, it's a really poor penalty. I don't think he hits it with any conviction. It seems like more like a pass that he's just trying to send the goalkeeper the eyes and give him the wrong way. But I think if the goalkeeper, if he takes that penalty another 10 times and the goalie dives the right way, he saves it.
So you don't think it's as black and white as he should have changed side? Because I've seen that a lot.
No, absolutely not. I've never been a fan of that stale of penalty. And he took what? I can't remember who it was against the penalty he scored, but it was whipped. You watch about it, whipped it with pace. So even if the goalkeeper dives the right way, it's difficult to save when you hit it with that power. But for me, that was almost like, again, like I said, it's just a half pass and people, just try and pick a corner.
Some people have also said they should have changed taker. Is that just hindsight stuff?
I think that's all hindsight. How many times have we seen a retake and the taker takes it again and scores? And I remember Lon Shankland having one last season, and I think it was against Celtic, actually. He got his hat-trick at Tynecastle in the 4-3 game, and he actually went the same side and scored again.
No, it is just that. I saw it in the telly. It's that embarrassed laugh. Is it? You've seen it before. You know when Mark Wilson misses a 6-inch putt and he is that kind of embarrassed? When Daz misses it, he throws the club away. Mm-hmm. And Mark has that wee kind of embarrassed. Oh, I shouldn't have missed that.
It's like when Andy gets an easy one wrong on Beat the Pundit.
That never happens.
We'll see what happens at 7 o'clock. Roz, thank you very much. Belated happy birthday. If you want to join in on the phones, now's the time to do so.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here to get your thoughts on the weekend's action. Scott is a Celtic fan in Cambus Lang. Scott, a lot of negativity after the game at the weekend. Is it over the top? Is it unfair or is it justified?
Hello again, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Listen, that was horrendous on Saturday. And a couple of points, if it's all right, if you don't mind me. Andy was saying about Kyogo not being the same as last year. Kyogo's not getting the service. If you're sitting watching, Kyogo's getting frustrated. Kyogo's making the same runs. He's making the same stuff as he was last year. The service is not there. Why? They're sitting there saying we're needing another striker. What's the point in getting another striker when the service is not getting to them? They don't want to shoot outside the box because there may be a deflection. The keeper commands a keeper or whatever. There's nothing. It's side to side, back. That's all it is. You know, that's my first point, right? Second point is the penalty, or the two penalties. My God, you know... Okay, right, you know, it's the run-up's horrendous, you know, but I don't know. It was like a pass, do you know what I mean? And it's a 50-50 chance the keeper getting it or not scoring or not, right? We all know that, right? But the same place, hitting it at the same place, change your options, do you know what I mean? Make goalkeeper work for it, you know, but that was just horrendous on Saturday. Absolutely horrendous. The state of the park was terrible. But you can't blame the park. They're professional players, so they should be dealing with it. But when you've got 10 players sitting behind the ball, you know, Celtic, Brendan Rodgers must know they're going to do that. That's a tactic now. Other teams have seen other teams do it, so they're going to do it. Right? So he must know he's going to do that. You know, you can't walk the ball in the back of the net. You need to mix it up a wee bit, and they're not doing it at all. I'm sorry, but they're not.
Just one word you used, Scott, I want to ask you about. You said it was horrendous. So you don't kind of buy this theory that, look, people need to calm down, you get those performances throughout a season, Ange had them, that this is what it takes to sometimes go on and win a league. You weren't having that at all at the weekend?
No, no, really, because it's not just a one-off. This has been happening for a good wee while now, and we've got Hibs and Aberdeen away, and I'm seriously worried, you know, because there's just no ticking, you know. I can't wait to the two players for Japan come back. Do you know what I mean? Hatate and Maeda. I can't wait till they come back, because it just seems to be there's no, how can I put this, no urgency, if that's the word. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing, you know, there is absolutely nothing. And you can't, Kyogo has been, as I said, doing the same things, doing everything else. And when you're sitting watching him, I'm sitting the Jockstein, And you're sitting and he's getting really, really frustrated. You know what I mean? You can see it. It's written all over him.
Roger, what do you think about the overall mood and the reaction, and how appropriate it is? Because I guess everything's through your own sort of lens. I know for a fact fans of Motherwell and St Mirren, St Johnstone and Hibs might be listening and thinking, I wish we had Celtic's problems. Well, you know, only a couple of points clear at the top. Listen, and, you know, you've only brought in £3 million. But by the flip side, if you're a Celtic fan, you're probably more interested in your own standards and your own expectations. Are Celtic falling below that? Is that what the problem is?
Well, this Celtic side have won, what, 11 of the last 12 titles. So all things are relative. Scott will be speaking from the perspective of a supporter who has seen his team win 11 of the last 12 titles. I can't remember, but that's... he, for the last 2 years, has watched Kyogo Furuhashi at the top of an Ange Postecoglou team that famously never stopped. He had Jota flying one side, he had Dyson Maeda flying the other side, he had Reo Hatate in behind, and the Celtic support became used to a style of play that they enjoyed watching. The results came with it, and everything was great. Now there's a situation where they've gone to a Brendan Rodgers style of play, which can and has been hugely successful for Celtic, but it is a slower tempo. It doesn't suit Kyogo as well as the previous manager's style suited. It's coming at a time when Rangers are stronger. It's coming at a time when, and this is just a side issue, but Scott, the other two callers brought it up, Celtic are missing penalties, where they're struggling over the line sometimes at home. Where, and this is actually a complaint I've heard from other fans as well, even the pitch. Celtic spent £1 million at Brendan Rodgers' behest when he first came into the club, first time round, to improve the pitch. Supporters are even saying, the pitch is done. We need to improve the surface to help improve the football.
Because again, that could still be true, but had Celtic won 5-0 on Saturday, nobody's talking about the pitch
and
here,
also,
isn't it?
Also, always if Celtic related. Had won 1-0 and Kyogo scores the winner in the 97th minute, having paraded two new signings at half time, then that 1-0 over Ross County becomes a celebration. This 1-0 over Ross County has become a source of great angst for Celtic fans, and you heard what the manager thought post match of the reaction at the final whistle.
Scott, like many, is not happy with the penalty, Andy, and we talk about big moments. There's every chance Celtic do go on and win the game really comfortably if they don't miss that penalty, the timing of it, and so on. What about Kyogo? You've played against him, you've had bench cam on him, you've watched on TV, you've kind of seen it all. What is he getting used differently? Is he just not getting the service? What's the reason?
No, listen, I take Scott's point and I agree with it. That wasn't a heavy criticism from me to Kyogo in any stretch of the imagination. I'm just talking about more his output within, I mean, his goals alone. I think I read earlier it was 210 minutes per goal as his stats in the league this season, which, for a player of his quality, when you compare it to David Turnbull, who's got to go every 96 minutes. And again, it is, a lot of that is down to service. We used to wax lyrical last year when you talk about his movement, his alertness in the box, how many times I spoke about that goal where he stays offside, it's that ball in behind to the dynamic wingers, whether it be Jota or Maeda, flash across the box, goal. And listen, Scott watches a lot more of Celtic than I do, but I'm watching highlights and I'm watching games at times, and he's maybe only getting one or two, three chances a game max. when you're watching to it before the end. So I listen, the service is definitely not what he was used to in terms of Ange Postecoglou last year. I think his overall contribution in, within the game is still less though, because I think Rodgers still wants him to come and link towards the game a lot more, but the likes of O'Reilly and Paolo Bernardo linking him, running behind, sorry. And again, I just don't think it suits him. I don't think he's that type of player. You can then counter by saying, but what about his goal against Rangers? Again, moment of magic where he drops off, receives it on the half turn, puts it in the top corner, which he's got in his locker. But I think overall, I think his game is suffering for the way Celtic are playing at the moment.
Thank you to Scott. There's a lot of frustration out there amongst your fellow fans. Barry, how do you feel about it all? Is it all a bit over the top or is it justified?
Hi, Gordon. Roger, Andy. Thanks
for having me. Hi, Barry.
Yeah, I think... I just think that the expectations from the fans at the start of the season were probably a wee bit inflated, you know, with Brendan coming back and the club had announced, you know, the sort of money they had in the bank account. And I think fans were putting two and two together and thinking that Celtic were going to go on a spending spree. And that's just not the model of the club. That's not what's got us to the place we're at. We've got to the place we're at because of the, you know, the recruitment, the strategy, you know, buy them in at a low price, sell them on at a high price. And all in all, the remit in Scotland is to beat your rivals and to win the league. And at this moment in time, Celtic are sitting top of the league. We've won both the derbies. We've also broke a hoodoo in the Champions League. And, yeah, I just think that...
Should that always be enough, though, Barry? You know, if the remit is to stay just ahead of Rangers, just make sure you can pip Rangers to everything. Is that enough?
No.
How do Celtic become the best version of themselves?
Yeah, I don't think that's what I was saying, Gordon. I think what I'm saying is that's your bread and butter in Scotland,
sure,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Your bread and butter. We've been to Ibrox and won. That's no easy to do, no matter what Rangers team you're coming up against. And then we'll back that up by winning at Celtic Park. Our performances in Champions League, other than Atletico Madrid away, I thought were excellent. And we came close in a few of those matches. And of course, we went and won one of them as well. And I just think that, you know, the reaction is a hangover from Ange Postecoglou leaving the club as well. And obviously the style of play that he'd implemented. But I just think if you were looking at it objectively, you know, using common sense as your filter to look at, you know, where you're at, Celtic have recruited reasonably well. And considering that we've got Palmer, who I think looks like a good player, Narochki has played his part, but it's not been great, admittedly. But I think the way the fans...
Do you really think the recruitment, they've recruited reasonably well, Barry? I feel like, listen, everybody's entitled to their opinion. It's not that I disagree. I feel like so many of your fellow Celtic fans aren't having that. Take today, talking Lager Bielka, bought for $3 million. He's not even played 600 minutes for the team, trying to ship him out. Kwon had to be shipped out. Tellio might well be shipped out. I take the point, Palmer's had a decent enough output, but that's not reasonably good recruitment from a Celtic standard, is it?
Well, I think if you go into a summer when you've won a treble, and I think the hardest time to improve a team is when they've just won a treble. How do you add quality to quality? That's not easy, not in the league that Celtic are playing in and the resources that we've got. I think if you add Palmer, Bernardo and Narochki to a winning team, a winning squad, that's three players. That's not too bad. It's not a disaster. Let's say now, if you marry that up with the fact that we're sitting top of the league, we've been top of the league pretty much the whole season, and we won both the derbies, as I keep saying. All in all, I'm not saying that Celtic are flying this season, but the hardest thing about being a Celtic fan this year has actually been listening to fellow Celtic fans, because there's just been a lack of perspective there. So it's not enough just to be ahead of your rivals, but it is your bread and butter. And if you're sitting top of the league in January and you've won both derbies, to be talking about panic and catastrophe is way over the top.
I think a lot of the expectation coming into this window has been from the words of the manager. I mean, interviews we've listened to Brendan Rodgers after Champions League games, after domestic games, saying he needs quality, he needs players. And again, referencing coming into this window, he wanted 3-4 new signings in the door. We're now looking at a deadline on Thursday with only Nicholas Kuhn for £3 million coming in the door. And I get Barry's point in terms of spending these big fees, because to be fair, Celtic's trading model over the last few years has been successful in terms of buying players, selling higher. O'Reilly was very, very nearly another one by all accounts with the links at Atletico Madrid. But I think the expectation coming into this window has been down to Brendan Rodgers, and I stated it earlier. It's not even the fact the lack of signs, it's the lack of talk. You've not really heard much in terms of what's potentially came in. I think recently I've heard a Van Hooijdonk being the striker for Bologna being linked, but other than that, there doesn't seem to be very many names for Celtic fans to get excited about.
I don't ever want to stop anyone being positive. I'm all for it, Roger. Barry wants to see the best in it. I think that's good. And we on here want balance. There's no point in everybody saying the same thing. I'm a bit surprised to hear Barry thinks the recruitment's been sort of an acceptable level, but again, that's fine.
Listen, Barry's opinion holds water. It's fair enough. He is more positive than the three Celtic supporters we had in the show, at the start of the show, Gordon. There's nothing the matter with keeping money in the bank. There's nothing the matter with the signing model, the recruitment model, until such times as you lose the league or you lose the Scottish Cup. The League Cup's already away. Rangers have won it. And I think the majority of Celtic...
Not separate, though. I mean, Celtic might still win the league this season, but have got the recruitment terribly wrong. Like that, but those can coexist, surely.
They can coexist, and then the recruitment won't matter one iota in the eyes of the Celtic fans, because they've won three in a row and they're heading for the Champions League.
Long-term strategy at some point, though.
Well, there is a long-term strategy. The long-term strategy is to go and sign players at this value or slightly below in terms of project. They won't all work.
But the Lager Bielka one today is suggesting that there are a few flaws in it.
They won't all work. Nobody pretends they will all work. There's been ones like Lager Bielka in the past. I think Celtic's strike rate over the years has been good. Sure. But the worry, not so much for Barry, but for Ross, Roz and Scott, is it's not working anymore.
Thank you to Barry. Keep the calls coming whilst I tell you about this. Clyde One. Make me a winner. Right, last time out on Make Me A Winner, Rebecca grabbed £102,000 whilst recovering from the flu. That's one way to make you feel better. She's not working at the moment, so this cash is going to come in so handy to pay those bills. Now we could make you the winner of £104,000 tomorrow when we make the call, but you need to be in the draw by either texting yes to 61025, text or £2 plus your standard network rate, or entering at Clyde1.com for £2, or call 0330 880 4523, and those calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition are online. If you do get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within five rings and say make me a winner straight away to win the £104,000. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. Any Motherwell fans want to get the inside scoop on that exciting 1-1 draw at Perth at the weekend? Andy's your man. 0141 951 1025.
This is an irritation to me. Why were you wearing your away kit?
And why
were Hibs wearing an away kit at Kilmarnock? They look more like the Kilmarnock kit than the Hibs kit.
Never let it be said that we don't get to the heart of the real
this
issues.
This should be stopped. This is nonsense.
That are diseasing Scottish football.
Nonsense.
You're not happy with that?
No.
I still can't get used to the squad number 11 either.
Oh, me neither, Stephen. I saw you in the telly. Oh, jeez, honestly. But
you're going to do a deal with Home again for next season?
Do you know what? It might be a conversation that's had.
Get a 16 off him.
That happened to me in my younger days.
His contract up, is it not? So it might be a interesting conversation.
When I was at Middlesbrough, number 18, Dean Whitehead, older experienced player, 34, 35, came in the summer and says, I'm taking that number next year. And I was like, okay, just gave it up.
18.
And I grew
Why
quite fond of it as
so
well.
Much?
I think he just had it through
always
his career,
it.
Aye.
And left you with what?
19.
All right, okay.
But I grew quite fond of it, didn't I? Get rid of it.
Just rank.
Gave it up. Aye.
Where did the 16 come in then?
No reason, to be honest. It was just what was available at the time, and then ever since I've had it, I've liked it, so I just wanted to keep it. Had it at Hearts, and then just hoping to get it again, but I took.
Anyway, 01419511025, or Twitter, of course. You could tweet us your thoughts at Clyde SSB. Lots to get through from the weekend, but there's a lot of Celtic fans on this phone line. I'm not too impressed with what they're seeing. We did say it's probably, more than probably, linked to transfers as well, and Brendan Rodgers is hopeful they can add quality to the squad before Thursday's deadline.
Hopefully that's the plan, getting that player in that can help our level and allow us to develop. So, but yeah, we'll see. over the coming days. But hopefully that'll be the case.
Hopefully that will be the case, says Brendan Rodgers. I don't know if you've got any choice but to analyse what's in front of you, to borrow the football cliche, Roger. Does he sound that convincing? Does he sound that confident? Or is that just a very... Is that just a kind of holding statement so that you're not committing one way or the other?
I think that's exactly what it is, Gordon.
Would you expect him to sound a bit more confident, no?
No. No, you have to remember this interview was done moments after he was booed away from his work on Saturday night. So he's not going to be in the best of fettle. Like every other Celtic supporter, he probably wasn't wholly happy with the performance. He will have been relieved to have got the 3 points and moved 5 points clear at the top. But like all Celtic supporters, I'm sure, until he actually sees the players in the building holding green and white scarves above their heads, Gordon, then he wouldn't be 100% convinced by it either.
Peter is a Celtic fan. How do you feel as a Celtic fan just now, Peter? What's going on? You're top of the league, you're winning games, but there's a lot of negativity around. How do you feel about it all?
I'm still positive, but slightly disenchanted. I just wanted to make a point. It feels a bit like Groundhog Day. I'm referring to 2 or 3 years ago when the Green Brigade unfurled a banner which suggested that the board, Desmond White and I think it was Neil Lennon at the time, although I don't think it was Neil Lennon's fault. At the time, there was this big banner said, "Don't fall asleep at the wheel." And it just feels like Groundhog Day. It feels like the board are falling asleep at the wheel again. I don't think the fans are disenchanted by Brendan Rodgers at all. I think that he's been welcomed back. I know he had a bit of an issue when he first came back, but I think Brendan's okay with the fans. And I don't know if Brendan's posture in his interview, I don't know what that reflects. I don't know if it's all about the fact that you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. But it's just astonishing, I think, that the board do appear to be falling asleep at the wheel again. And you would have thought, really, that they would have learned their lesson. I think Andy made a good point that Brendan Rodgers did state that he wanted 3 or 4 quality signings. And I totally agree with that, because I think a lot of the signings in the last 12 months, there's been too much quantity and not enough quality. But the lack of movement, you know, you would have thought at the beginning of January, I would have thought that a lot of these players who were obviously not going to be getting a first-team game or in the squad, that they'd either go on loan or get sold. But it's just the lack of movement is just astonishing. The board seem, and I think the fans are disenchanted with the board more than Brendan, and that's my thought, really, guys. I also think that you know, Barry earlier on phoned in to talk about the signing strategies, which, you know, I agree with Barry to a big degree, but you've now got a resurgent Rangers, and your signing strategy when Rangers are weak, you know, buy for a couple of million self or whatever, and that might have worked, but sometimes signing strategies need to change, you need to tweak them slightly. Rangers are coming back. I think that between March last year, even when we won the treble last year, even between March and June, we stuttered a little bit over the finishing line when we won the title. They didn't, you know, we won the cup, you know, we won the treble, but they didn't win the title in grand style come April. Maybe we were stuttering a bit. And I think that stuttering, those performances, I think that's continued. And it's not all about Ange leaving. You know, everybody loves Ange, but there's a lot more to this. Mm. But the bottom line is the board are falling asleep.
I get it's a very difficult window for teams to do their business in. And I referenced, and Peter's just referenced as well, Brendan Rodgers almost enticing and getting the Celtic fans excited by, we're going to be active this window, we're looking at 3 and 4. Then after the St Mirren game at the end of the first week of January, Celtic are going into a 2 week break period where you'd imagine that they've been very busy trying to get the recruitment and these other 2-3 players in the door that were expected since Nicholas Kuhn, as I said. It's just all going very, very quiet. That being said, on the other side of the city, when it comes to Rangers, Diamandi almost came out of the blue. It seems as if this Jeffrey and Oscar Cortez came out the blue as well. And I said at the top of the show, Peter, and you can phone me back next Monday if I turn out to be wrong, but I'd be amazed if Celtic don't bring in 1 or 2 more.
That is feeding into it, Roger. Not for everybody, clearly, because some people can separate it. We've got no idea if Diamandi, Jeffrey and Cortez will be any good. We really don't. Let's be honest about it. But still, this is Glasgow. You know the way it works. Celtic fans are annoyed about the performance against Ross County. They're even annoyed about the pitch, according to some callers. And they're seeing Rangers making moves and making signings, and they're not doing it yet. That has to be part of it for some people.
Of course it does. And that's one of the reasons I think Celtic will make moves before the window closes on Thursday night. The board aren't daft.
Peter thinks they're falling asleep at the wheel, though.
Well, listen.
Did you get that?
They're operating to a policy that's brought them huge success in recent years. And they're trying to stick to that policy. Sometimes that can be a gamble, and sometimes gambles backfire. I think the Celtic board are smart enough that they will know they need to get a couple of bodies in by Thursday night.
Thank you, Peter. It's already that time of the night. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. I can't think of many better ways to kick off a new week than by beating Andy Halliday or Roger Hanna at Beat the Pundit. That opportunity is here now. You need to dial 0141 951 1025 and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the second hour of tonight's show with Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna, but they're both waiting for you to get in touch. Whether it's thoughts of the weekend's performances, whether it's transfer window related or something else, surprise us, give us a call. A lot has been said already about Celtic at the weekend. It's been wall-to-wall calls, so busy on the phone lines. It was a win, like many people have pointed out, but it feels like some people not happy with the performance or the transfers or even the pitch. There's been a lot mentioned. Rangers fans, St Mirren fans, this might be a good chance for you to call in, because that was the game that got us underway at the weekend. Any big talking points? Anything good, bad or indifferent from it? Rangers fans, you appear to be closing in on a couple of new signings. How happy are you with that? Let us know now, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Stephen is in Motherwell. How's it going, Stephen?
All right, how's it going?
Not bad. If you're a Rangers fan, would you take a non-eventful 1-0 win on Beat the Pundit like your team got at the weekend?
Definitely.
And secondly, being from Motherwell, have you seen Andy Halliday in his new adopted hometown yet at any point?
I have not.
Good, keep your eyes peeled. See what he's up to in the local area. So I used to, you know, I feel like I'm a bit detached from it now. I can't believe he's waited till I left before he's moved in. But luckily, I know just the man to keep tabs on him. The Dazzler with his crutch. You heard about this?
I have heard about the crutch.
Mystery ankle injury.
Yeah.
He was in here limping around at the weekend.
I was actually more worried about that story in the news about that Japanese macaque monkey that's roaming the streets. I hope Daz just started locking his door, because you know what happened last week?
That's a good point. Imagine it just bars through his window, kept him company. Anyway, Stephen, we'll get the coin ready. 30 seconds about to go on the clock. Don't tell me. Do you know what? It's every time someone else uses this studio, they steal my 50p. They move it. There it is. I've got it. Heads, it's Andy Halliday. Tails, it's Roger Hanna minus one. And it is Roger Hanna minus one.
Good luck, Stephen.
He's been away this weekend, Stephen. He's been away in Arran, he was telling us. So maybe, just maybe,
right,
he's taking his eye off the ball. I don't know. Surprised you got back. How were the ferries? Windy conditions.
We had to leave two behind. We only got on last night as passengers.
No way to treat the kids, to be honest.
We left two behind, one of whom was booked on the 7:20 in 15 minutes time.
We'll keep an eye out then.
And it's either disrupted or delayed. I've had a stream of
angry text messages.
Yeah.
Right, let's give Roger 30 seconds. No, give him music, sorry, in his ear. Greatest Hits Radio. We give Stephen the 30 seconds. You'd think I'd remember how this works by now. Stephen, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Let's go.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who scored a hat-trick for Inverness Cali Thistle at the weekend? Who was the last player to score a penalty for Celtic?
Atari.
Which goalkeeper has the most caps for the Scotland men's national team?
Jake Gordon.
Who was the Livy manager before David Martindale?
David Hopkins.
What nationality is Rangers' new signing Mohamed Diomande?
Pass.
Who scored Hearts' penalty at the weekend?
Oda.
Who's got more league goals, Cyril Dessers or Bojan Miovski?
Miosky.
Okay, let's bring back the Hanna man on minus one. Are you ready?
Yeah, a bit of the big O.
Sorry?
A bit of the bigot Roy Orbison and Greatest Hits Radio.
Jeez, wondered where that was going there.
Yeah.
Jeez, the show had taken an entirely different turn. Right, 30 seconds to Roger and your time starts now. Who scored a hat-trick for Inverness Cali Thistle at the weekend?
Alex Samuel.
Who was the last player to score a penalty for Celtic?
Turnbull.
Which goalkeeper has the most caps for the Scotland men's national team?
Jim Leighton.
Who was the Livy manager before David Martindale?
Gary Holt.
What nationality is Rangers' new signing Mohamed Diomande?
Ivorian.
Who scored Hearts' penalty at the weekend?
George Grant.
Who's got more league goals, Cyril Dessers or Bojan Majovski?
Majovski.
Paul Bernard is the record signing of which Scottish club?
Aberdeen.
It's Bernard Bernard. Did I just make him sound more?
I think
more...
it was Paul Bernard. Yeah, well, you're right at the time. Oldham Athletic.
If I'd made him sound more exotic than he deserved. Anyway, Stephen, what are you thinking?
Oh, that was a shocker.
I know he said he was away in Arran, but he's obviously not got up to much on his weekend away and kept up to speed with everything that was happening. Anyway, not sure. Let's find out. Who scored a hat-trick for Inverness at the weekend? I think those questions are really tough because I think your average football fan might not know, but Roger Hannah's just bound to it. It was Alex Samuel, who's just gone on loan from
Ross County,
just down the Keswick Bridge. There we go. So Alex Samuel pulls Roger level because he starts on minus one. None of you got this though. The last player to score a penalty for Celtic,
I said Tumbo as well.
It was Luis Palma.
Right,
just
okay.
So happens that he missed at the weekend. So 0-0 if you like. The most capped Scotland men's goalkeeper is not Craig Gordon, Stephen. He's got a good few, but Jim Leighton's still way in front on 91. Roger goes one up. I felt Stephen like knew his stuff up to a point. David Hopkin was a perfectly good guess for Livy, but it's wrong, Stephen. It is Gary Holt. So 2-0 Roger. Mohamed Diomande's Ivorian. 3-0 George Grant scored Hearts penalty. 4-0. You surprised? You know the club well. Was he always next in line after Lawrence Shankland, would you say?
No, I wouldn't, to be honest. No. Great technique. I think he could certainly take penalties, but
Who would you have gone? Kingsley or something?
Yeah, well, I'd Liam Boyce, who was on the pitch. For that starting 11 at the weekend, I'd probably say Stephen Kingsley.
You surprised Shankland came off them? Because I was certain he would come off them, but everybody in the studio said he would stay on. Would you? Can you run the risk of missing four in a row?
I mean, when you've scored 12 beforehand, I think you've got enough in the bank, personally. Anyway, but
I was worried for you at this point, Stephen. It was a zero up until this point. You did manage to pull one back, Cyril Dessers or Majovski. It is Majovski. It would have been even more, but VAR got in the way. What a goal it was.
Yeah,
as well.
Great finish.
I always say that if a goal's like really, really good, you should get it should be allowed to stand. Remember when Kevin Van Veen scored at Tynecastle last season and it was offside? Yeah. It's like a big diagonal
ball. Yeah, it was
like
a volley. Left-foot volley.
Oh, honestly.
I scored two that day, by the way.
I was trying to forget about that. And Paul Bernard is the record signing for Aberdeen. So I think it was a 6-1 for Roger Hannah. Stephen.
No one likes a show off, Roger.
How many would they have got if he wasn't away at the weekend? What did you make of your team's performance or result or game at the weekend, Stephen?
It wasn't pretty, but a 3 points away at St Martin, do you think them anywhere, shape or form, I think, at this point.
Yeah, has that been the sort of, you know, to come back off the break? You Rangers fans always say that you don't come back off the break well. To go to Hibs and St Mirren, you know, with the 6 points and the clean sheets, is that it? Is that the bottom line? That, you know, that was the most important thing.
I think both games we weren't totally under pressure. We were comfortable. Obviously, it wasn't pretty at the weekend, but coming in after the break, just take any wins, get we've got a decent one coming up, so hopefully some decent performances.
Looks like a couple of players in the door as well. They're all coming a bit out of the blue, aren't they? Is that something that excites you?
Yeah, definitely. Right winger is quite important, I think, this window, so hopefully we get that Cortez in the door.
Yeah, that's the one that is the latest to come out because the Jefty, as we think we've settled on, the Brazilian left-back, he's not here either, Roger, but we've moved on to another sort of rumour or report, if you like, Oscar Cortez. I have lost count, Andy will know this, how many windows we've spoken about Rangers needing a natural right-sided winger and never get one.
That's been the ninth now, I think.
Is this the one? Is this the guy that's going to tick that box?
Well, from Rangers' point of view, they'll certainly hope so, because I've said it before and people certainly disagree, but I don't think it's a position that's been replaced since Daniel Candace. I don't think they've had that one player that sort of nailed down that that jersey and that side. And we've seen a lot of people, the likes of Joe Aribo and Scott Arfield, people that aren't out and out right wingers playing in that right wing slot. Even this season, we've seen Todd Cadmill out there, Sam Lammers. And then not since young Ross McCausland's came in, has anyone really grasped down that run of games who you could say is an out and out winger. So I'm sure that that will be one that will certainly excite the Rangers fans, because it seems as if that's been a position they've been crying out for a while.
And it's an unlikely transfer policy, you know, an Ivorian from Denmark, a Colombian from France, a Brazilian who's been in Cyprus, not really targets that you would have expected Rangers to pursue. You know, people were talking about Rangers going for Lauren Shankland along the other end of the M8. So it'll be interesting to see how these guys get on, thrown straight into Scottish football and into the teeth of a title race.
Yeah, I get, always say it, we don't really know how it's going to pan out, but I think on paper, Andy, is there a bit of a change already? I know Rangers have got new recruitment staff in the much maligned window in the summer, which saw Sam Lammers and Cyril Dessers, who are not young men, signed for quite a lot of money. Is there at least a clear strategy in place at the moment? Or a different strategy, I should say, and then we find out if they're any good down the line.
And it seems as if it's a strategy that finally fits that player trading model bill that they've spoke about for so long. And again, I think it's profiles and CVs that looks out Rangers fans. And I think in Jeffrey and Oscar Cortez's, I think specifically they are positions that are priority positions. I think Diomande was an exciting one in terms of his profile, where he came from. A lot of games, being vice captain of a club that sold players for a lot of money. But a left back and a right winger going into this window, along with a striker, seems like the real priority is going into January for Rangers.
What do people need to know, Roger Hanna, about Oscar Cortez in particular? I think we probably know even less about Jeffrey, but we spoke about him towards the tail end of last week.
Yeah, he came over from Colombian football last summer. I think they paid something in the region of £4 million to bring him into Ligue 1 lens. He dropped out of squad at the weekend when they were due to play Toulouse. He is still in talks with Rangers tonight. It'll be a loan deal to the end of the season with a view to a permanent deal. It'll be interesting to see what the fee would be. I think Rangers fans, if there was a kitty to be spent in the summer, I think Rangers fans would like a chunk of that kitty to go in Abdelassima in a permanent move after his 15 goals on loan from Brighton before his injury. So is there going to be enough in the kitty to go and get Sima and go and get Cortez and go and tick the other boxes that Rangers fans will want ticked in the summer?
Is there just some sort of quota of always trying to have a mad Colombian in the building, Andy? Has that become the new aim for Rangers, has it?
Well, I think Alfredo Morelos was looking for a pal for a while, so I think he'll be devastated now he's gone that they finally brought one in. But listen, if he's as endeared with the Rangers supporters as Alfredo Morelos was, then you know it should be a decent signing, but it remains to be seen.
Would you take 10% less effective on the pitch if it was 10% more manageable off it?
No, I don't think I'd look quite like the madness at times, to be honest with you. It was a laugh. Maybe no, the red card. Take the red cards away, I'll give you 10%.
Did the managers always think he was
no,
a laugh?
No, definitely not.
No.
But I think for players it was a little bit more funny.
There we are. Anyway, let's bring in Willie, who's a Rangers fan. What did you take away from the weekend's game, Willie?
Hi, well, I was saying to the producer a while ago, by the way, I apologise for the other week, but I couldn't find an adjective to describe the game. It was that bad.
Oh, did you have a wee slip-up on the show a couple of weeks ago, did you?
But it wasn't a swear as such. But
right, let's just leave it. I just feel like it's one of them where you're accidentally going to say it back to me again, so just
not at all,
crack on.
No, not at all. Right. No, it was just, obviously, Dessers got man of the match because he was the best man in the park. Boom, boom. As I say, he kind of feigned the keeper. It was a very poor game again, but we got the 3 points, so we move on. I mean, they smacked the bar as well. And I'll be honest, I never even noticed it at the time. I saw it on the replay, you know. So,
are you starting to warm to Cyril Dessers? How do you feel about him now?
Ah, well, at the end of the day, he's just no there, is he? But he's getting there. I mean, the part he'd won, apart from the Seema, Andy's a professional football player.
Anyway, Willie, come on. Anyway, let's stop it there. Let's stop it there because honestly, you're making my life very difficult. Again, like to apologise if there was any language in there in Willie's call that you weren't happy about, not affiliated to us. Of course, Willie comes on and gives his views, they're not our views, and apologies again if anyone didn't like what they heard from Willie. But Roger, somewhere in there I was trying to get to a discussion about Cyril Dessers.
He's an enigma, isn't he? I don't think Willie, him, he's Cyril.
Is he the official enigma?
He has had a difficult start. I know he's got, what is it, 11 goals or 12 goals 12, now, Gordon, yeah, this season. Wonderful finish in Seville. Wonderful finish at Easter Road. I actually thought he took the goal quite well at Paisley in Saturday lunchtime as well. But he will be remembered at the minute for Celtic Park and for missing chances. And he doesn't do enough at the minute for me as a Rangers centre forward. But maybe, just maybe, those goals at Easter Road and the Smyzer Stadium at the weekend could represent a turning point for Cyril Dessers. Willie and all the Rangers fans will hope so.
I think his overall contribution in the game was a lot better, to be honest. I thought his link-up play at times, I thought he brought others into play in a game where we're talking about Kyogo earlier being starved of service. I thought Cyril Dessers was starved of service throughout the game, but he managed to fashion an opportunity for that ball for John Lundstrom, and the one real opportunity that got carved up for him, he scores. He obviously hits the post in the second half where he actually does well to create the opportunity himself. But the man I mentioned setting up Cyril Dessers, I think, is the real one since Philippe Clement came in, where he just seems to have found that sort of Europa League form that Rangers fans were dying for him to get again.
Will he sign a new contract, Andy?
I would be surprised if Rangers don't offer him one, whether it's on the same terms that he's on right now. I'm not too sure, because they're talking about, you know, having a players that he can then sell on for big fees. I'm not sure what age John Lundstrom is now, but it must be 29 or over. I'd imagine he'll be one of the highest earners of the club. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them offer him a new contract, and I think quite rightly so, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was reduced terms for what he's on now.
Yeah, we've said it a few times, the numbers, but the problem is that, or not the problem, the thing about that is the strength of that argument is only improving. He's now scored three games in a row. He's up to 12 for the season. That's absolutely fine, Andy. Is the eye test getting better? Because that was always the bit people would say, well, yeah, I know he scored a couple, but just watch him, you know, like he's not doing it for me. Is that side of things improving, or was the weekend difficult to tell because it looked like the windiest, most annoying game of football all season?
I think what he had to do at the weekend, I thought he'd done well, but I still agree with your point that he's at the eye test over his course of his Rangers career. I still don't think you're getting the return for the fee that you paid for him. I look at Antonio Cholet last year. Goal return was probably better than Dessers at this stage of the career. But again, was dividing opinion for Rangers fans, because the eye test was telling you he wasn't quite off on what they expected from a Rangers number 9. But it must be said, I think Cyril Dessers, I think his performance have certainly improved over the last month or so. I think Philippe Clement again has got that little bit more out of him than Michael Beale has, but I still think there's more to come for sure.
He needs a goal in a big game. That's what separates the ordinary forwards from the very good forwards. Look, you mentioned it yourself, two Old Firm games this season, Kyogo scored in them both, the winning goal. That's what marks him separate from the rest. Dessers missed the chance at Celtic Park. What Dessers needs to really launch his Rangers career is a big goal against Celtic.
Well, the winner in a 1-0 away at St Mirren, I am not for a second suggesting.
We'll give him the better goal, but I think out with that,
I'm not suggesting that's the same as Celtic, but like we said, it's a winner. It's the only goal in the game.
It might be a turning point in the last 7 days.
Is that where the difference between perceived sticky away games versus on paper must win home games? I'm talking about the reaction to Celtic versus the reaction to the Rangers game. Is that the obvious difference? Like, you go there, it's windy, the pitch is bobbly, St Mirren are having a good season, you take absolutely any win, but home against Ross County is a different.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the fact, as you said, three games in a week coming off of the break, two away games, consecutive away games against Hibs and St Mirren. St Mirren being a difficult place for anyone in the league to go. But then again, to fashion in, I think if any Rangers fan seen the start 11 before the game, they're then questioning where's the creativity coming from. Because I think Dujon Sterling, who for me has been excellent since he's came into the side, playing in left wing at the weekend, I mean, it's very difficult because it's only one time you've seen him there, but for me, he didn't look like a winger. I thought the positions he was taking up, I thought he looked uncomfortable there at times. And in terms of overall creativity in the game, you've seen a lot. I think Rangers' shot conversions, chance conversions have all increased since Philippe Clement came in the door. 10 shots at the weekend. Arguably, St Mirren had the best chances throughout the game. Jameson's had a couple, Quan's had a couple.
Well, Quan's chance was big, wasn't it?
It's a big chance, but any Rangers fan before the game would have took a 1-0 stuff.
It's also what you're used to, Gordon. Celtic fans in recent times have been used to rolling up at Parkhead and dismissing the Ross Counties of this world with panache, flamboyance and scintillating football. Rangers fans have been used to going to places like St Mirren under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and Michael Beale and dropping points. I think St Mirren Park was Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's last game, basically, was drop points 18 months ago.
They've actually got a good record
ago.
Against St Mirren, but I take your point about that type of fixture.
Yeah, that, so Rangers fans have seen that type of fixture go wrong. So when it goes right, even 1-0 with a Dessers goal, that's a good result.
And talk about type of fixtures, Roger. We all talked about the difficulty of Rangers fixtures going into mm-hmm. December. They're now in a run with 8 home games in their next 11.
Yep. Many have Motherwell got?
Home fixtures in the next 11? I actually looked at 7.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Oh, listen, he knows his stuff. Anyway, St Mirren fans, maybe you want to get involved, or Rangers fans, if there wasn't enough in the game to make you call in tonight. What about transfers? What about Oscar Cortez? What about Jeff Day? What about anyone else you can think of? Are you getting a bit excited about this transfer window, or is it too early for that? Any Killie fans out there? We could get a good argument going about Corey and Dabba's red card if you want. Give us a call and we'll get to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025. What are you thinking tonight? You still looking back on the weekend's action? Feel free. If you want to talk transfers, that would be a good one to do as well. There's a few rumour, a few stronger than rumour, I think, a few suggestions that Rangers are about to make more signings. Celtic fans, you'd be hoping for some rumours at this point. What are you thinking? Give us a call. 0141 951 1025. I did say before the break, Kilmarnock fans, maybe you want to have a bit of an argument about the Corey and Dabba red card or any of the other talking points from the weekend. We are here for you. In the meantime, let's get this up and running.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, offering champion bespoke media units to put you right in the game.
This is a really tough question, but it should be for you too, let's be honest. It really should be. I'm interested to know where you'll start. Thank you to Crazy Pony for this question. Not including Republic of Ireland. Who are the last 7 overseas players to be signed by a Premiership club for a manager who is a fellow countryman? So, not including Republic of Ireland, who are the last 7 overseas players to be signed by a Premiership club for a manager who is a fellow countryman? But you get the question. Like, as an example, you're going way back, Dick Advocaat, Arthur Mute, that sort of thing.
Stefan Johansson?
Yes, signed by
Ronnie Dial.
See, you can huff and puff and roll your eyes, then
no,
you can get
tough
an answer
question,
that
that's why, but I don't mind it.
Oh no, he's not. I thought he was. I could have swore I saw him on this list. You're not that far off. That's probably why.
Carlos Peña.
What's he got to do with Stefan Johansson and Ronnie Dyla?
He was Mexican as well.
Aye.
And Cachinha was not.
Was he not Mexican?
He was not.
Which leads me to Bruno Alves.
Well done.
Okay. And leads me to Christopher Ayer.
Yes,
and
okay.
Dalcio.
What
do you mean?
No, was he? Don't know actually. Yeah, he should have been, shouldn't he?
Fabio Cardoso.
Fabio Cardoso's on the list. Okay.
Candace.
Yeah. Right, look at that. You've only got 3 to get.
Who's Dalcio? No one.
What nationality?
Because it was alone.
What was?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
What was?
No, I don't need any more. You're absolutely scooshing this right now. That's 4 out of 7. And anyway, thanks to the Crazy Pony for sending it, and you can play along. Oh, there we are, I think, because he's represented someone else at international level. Anyway, send those questions in fulltime@clyde1.com. That is what the Crazy Pony did. And you can play along at home right now if you want. Not including Republic of Ireland, who are the last 7 overseas players to be signed by a Premiership club for a manager who's a fellow countryman? Ayer, Dyla, Norway, Alves, Candeas, and Cardozo by Pedro Cachinha. Andy's old pal, 3 easy ones to get. My favourite Pedro Cachinha story you've ever told is easily the team talk at Pittodrie. Oh my goodness. You heard that one, Roger Hanna?
Mm-hmm.
It just, when he plays the clip of 300 and rather than the Persian army, it just pans over to Pittodrie. I love it.
Did you win the game?
We did, actually.
Man's a genius.
I think we did. I can't remember.
Just imagine, what film could they do that with, right? What sort of other famous landscape would there be? Would they just over, and I'm just thinking Stuart Kettlewell if he wants any inspiration, and then it just suddenly pans round, and then it's Gordon DL's flat, mm-hmm. and then you just zoom in through the window and see him on his rec- Clyde. No, we better not do that, actually. That's an entirely different type of video.
With a guy that broke in a Japanese macaque monkey.
Exactly. Listen, how inspiring can we get? Stuart Kettlewell, if you're looking for any ideas, we'll give you a shout. 141 951 1025. There you are. The producer says, what about the Lion King? You know the scene in Simba, like, what's that?
Oh, he's a Lion King. Sorry.
What's
sorry.
That over there? Sort of
the
thing.
Horizon.
And then it just goes into Gordon Dale's flat. I love it. I love it. Andy Halliday's
somebody will Photoshop be, that. That'll be on Twitter later.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Andy Halliday's teammates would be suitably inspired.
Well, that, by the way,
I'm sure.
I just got the answer for Kenny Miller, who's texted me saying,
"Oh, would you listen to him?
Three zip, we won."
Oh, yeah, he would remember.
And I remember. I know why he remembers because he scored two. He definitely scored one.
I might have known. Just you two sitting watching 300, and then it turns into Pittodrie. I wish I'd been a fly on the wall. Anyway, let's hear from Philippe Clement. Get your calls in. I did say it was a busy weekend. I'm looking for fans of all teams here. Motherwell fans, how did Andy Halliday do? That might be a good one. Give us a call. How are you feeling?
Just now?
Are you feeling like a guy who hadn't started a game in 9 months?
Do you know what? I felt a lot better than I thought I would. Saturday night, I was toiling Saturday night. But today, mm-hmm. I feel all right. I feel all right.
I thought I saw him stand up and stretch during the break.
My back touched tight, but it was more my calves were tight Saturday night, but I feel good.
Good on you. Any Motherwell fans, you can agree or disagree with that. Kilmarnock fans, I had a few of you tweeting me at the weekend. Come on. If you're feeling injustice about Corey and Dabba's red card, feel free. And anything else out there, get in touch. Let's hear from Philippe Clement. We spoke just before the break there. Let's do transfers. The cards are quite close to the chest, but we'll give you his answer anyway. They may be close to signing Jeff Day and Oscar Cortez, but the manager says he's not heard anything on the matter.
I'm a little bit too long in football to respond to that. I will never respond on positions, what we have been talking about. So I'm happy about Cyril, what he's doing. I'm happy about Fabio, what he's doing also. And we continue in that way. And I didn't hear Niels or James or the chairman, so I didn't look at my phone also yet. If there's nothing signed with the player, I cannot say anything. We're going to see what we're going to do the next couple of days.
On the game, though, he felt Rangers are showing that they are improving, proving some doubters wrong after the 1-0 win, made it 3 wins from 3 after the break.
I said it after Hibs game was it was advertisement for Scottish football, and today was the opposite because of the circumstances. So I'm not the guy who can control circumstances. That's not my job. So my job is to see that my team is ready for all the circumstances, and they did today. So I'm even more proud of them than after Hibs game, to be honest, because this is more difficult. End of December, beginning of January, a few people in the club, a few fans told me that I had to watch out, that this team are slow starters the second part of the season. So we had a few tricky games already, and they did it in a good way. So let's continue in that way and be switched on and not thinking that we're a machine. Those are things you can say after a season, that it was a machine. The moment you start to think you're a machine, you will go down.
What did you make of the approach from Rangers at the weekend? I think the team line raised a few eyebrows, Andy, and I think Dejan Sterling played like left wing essentially, mm-hmm. and some interesting calls in there.
Yeah, I was almost going over in my head alternatives. Is it a back three? Are they playing with wing backs? Is Raskin playing the number 10 with Dejan Sterling in centre mid? But you know, it coincided with Dejan Sterling as a left winger, and it looks as if they trialled that in the friendly game against Hertha Berlin. And to be honest, I watched the game and didn't think it worked then, so I was surprised to see it at the weekend. But was that just because Philippe Clement expected a different type of game, and it was when they had to roll their sleeves up and dig in and do whatever they can to get the 3 points? But I don't see Dejan Sterling's long term future on the wing, that's for sure. And again, Rabbi Matondo, was he available to play 3 games in a week after, you know, having a sustained mm-hmm. period out, Seema being injured and all these other factors?
I'm not trying to be critical of these players or where they're being put, but does this all actually just lead to more praise for the manager, Roger? I think even the most optimistic Rangers fans on here, they don't think the squad is brilliant. They don't think all these players are playing out their skin necessarily, but you can't really argue with the winning run at the moment, and obviously the overall record out with the Celtic game. So is this the manager that's squeezing everything out of what he's got at the moment?
I think he probably has, to be perfectly honest with you. And Dejan Sterling's probably a good example. Dejan Sterling arrived last summer with sort of decent pedigree from down south, you know, through the Chelsea Academy, etc. And he made no impact whatsoever under Michael Beale. And it was only really when Philippe Clement came to the club, he dropped him in. He was a key performer, I think, in the League Cup final win before Christmas. and he has gone in and fitted into different positions. You know, holding midfield player, wide on the left at the weekend there. He's covered at times for Tavernier at right back. And Philip Clement's probably the best out of him. And you could probably say that about a few players. You know, Scott Wright has been a peripheral player, but he would have been away in Turkey in the, you know, the end of August if he had wanted to go. But Clement's probably got more out of him than he has out of, you know, than previous managers have either. So he is getting the most out of this group of players. But I think he feels he needs to add to that group of players because he might not be able to continue to get as much out of this group.
Yeah, 01419511025 if you want to get in touch. Right, you said it. You said your howler of the weekend. I put the plea out there, but no Kilmarnock fans have taken me up on it, which is fine. On the phone, certainly. Some on Twitter had a tweet from Amy who sent a clip of the challenge and called it called the decision outrageous. I think Derek McInnes was very unhappy. It was a VAR intervention, and Corey Ndaba was given a straight red card. You two are both, I think, in the camp that it was a bad decision.
Yeah, for me, yeah. But I don't think it's a red card. I think Corey Ndaba's went into a challenge that he knows he's probably going to overstretch, but confident enough that he can win the ball. He wins the ball. It's unfortunate, and his follow through that he catches, was it Tavares in the ankle? But when you actually watch it back, I don't think it's that high. I think half his studs actually catch Tavares' foot and the other half are on the ankle. For me, there's no way that that should be... Well, it was Grant Irvine that should be sent to the monitor to have a second look at that.
You're both in agreement, so I'll have to play the bad guy, which I'm just doing now performative reasons, because I said in the weekend that Corey Ndaba has got the best teeth in Scottish football because I keep meeting him in the gym, and we gave him the big build-up. We gave him that much-wanted accolade, and then he goes and gets sent off, Roger. Is there a case to say that the control element is lost when a player has 2 feet off the ground? The ruling, and this is where you've always got sympathy for players and even refs, because they've all ultimately got this rule book that you have to try and interpret. No two
challenges are the same, Gordon. So we can't just say, oh, he's lost control, both feet are off the ground. You know yourself, you look at it and it's the eye test, if you like.
But that would probably in the referee's head is a kind of the checklist. If you're trying to establish when someone is or isn't in control, if they don't have any of their feet on the ground, that might be how could you control it? I think would maybe be the...
But it doesn't jump 2 feet off the ground. It still slides.
I'm not sure about
that. No, it doesn't jump. It's not like a 2 foot jump and it lunges into the tackle and overextends.
Right, see, this is the thing, right? Because again, and I'm partly doing this for the argument purposes, right? But this is where interpretation is so important, because whether I actually think that's a red or not, I think that is undeniably a lunge. I think that's the dictionary definition of what a lunge is.
No, but my point is he's not lunged in with 2 feet and came off the ground with his 2 feet. That's my point.
Oh, sure.
But
I think I'm not denying
that. He lunges
that
in the extent that he's overextending because he feels like he has to win the ball, which he does. But then again, on his follow through, my point is I don't think it's that high.
Looking at it from a different angle as well, the fact that we're debating it like this on Monday night, was it a clear and
obvious
error?
And that's the thing we'll always have to come back to, isn't it? And that it makes you wonder there's so many of these.
I didn't, and this is the only VAR complaint I've got at the weekend, and I don't complain about VAR nearly as much as my learned colleague here. The only complaint I've got is I didn't think it was that Corey and Ndaba's challenge was a clear and obvious error.
Fair.
I didn't think Bojan Miovski's collision with Benny Beringame was a clear and obvious
really?
Error.
Really? That one I'm interested in. How is that not a foul?
No, I didn't say it wasn't a foul. I said it wasn't a clear and obvious error, in my opinion. I thought it was just a sort of coming together of the two of them. Beringame gets down, Bojan flashes the shot into the back of the net. I didn't think it was a clear and obvious error.
I disagree with that one.
I'm going to fling a third in there. I think Dundee's third should be ruled out.
Oh, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. I think it's a push on the back of James Penrose.
Yeah. I just hadn't got to that.
Oh,
what do you think,
Roger,
about Miovski?
This is weird that we're agreeing with
your former Hearts player, though. Let's see where your loyalties lie.
I agree with the Miovski one.
Do you?
I think it's a foul.
I'm amazed at that.
I think it's a foul, in my opinion, but I don't think it's a clear and obvious error either, because I do think it's a complete innocuous coming together. Again, that is a foul, but is that is Kevin Clancy wrong in initially not giving a foul for that?
Yes, I think that would be the answer. Like, because innocuous fouls,
anybody doesn't even, again, I know that doesn't mean anything, but
Alex Cochran does. Is he just doing his arm?
I'm not going to complain about VAR, but I would prefer VAR if VAR came out and said, here's what we're doing, lads, we're going to re-referee the game.
Yeah, I get that.
See this nonsense, see this nonsense about clear and obvious, but we'll only pick up clear and obvious errors. No.
Is that I completely agree. For me, that's what it's there for.
And I think we've clearly made, I think you've made a good case on the Ndaba one. But as annoying as it is the Aberdeen one not really straightforward? When Miovsky fouls Beningame, and if he doesn't, then Beningame's got a chance to stop the cross coming in.
Nah, I get it.
I think it's really quite simple for me, I
didn't feel it was a clear and obvious error. But you can't interpret these ways, but if Miovsky falls, is that a foul on Miovsky? Even though it's because it's an accidental coming together. So what if Miovsky trips?
But we need to get away from this notion of what's an accident and what's not. It's not been relevant for a long time, that.
And I know, but that's in my, that's the way I, that's my, what I'm using as my barometer, is the
clear and obviousness of it, yeah. Right, okay. Anyway, it sounds like a good time to take a breather, and you can get your calls in right now.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. 0141 951 1025. Still time to squeeze some calls in. We've got a question sent in for the guys tonight, and it's tough. I really like it though. Not including Republic of Ireland. Who are the last seven overseas players to be signed by a Premiership club for a manager who's a fellow countryman? I know it sounds a lot, but when you start thinking, Pedro Caixinha had three, Alves, Candeias, Cardoso, Ronnie Dyla signed Christopher Ayer, which means you've got three to get. I must admit, two of them are, one's disgracefully hard. The other one very hard, and there's only one I think you can get.
What about Aaron Moy?
Yeah, he's the one I thought. Yeah. After that,
is there a Hearts one?
Yes.
So you're going back to Paulo Sergio time?
No. Honestly, I can't.
I thought
see
this was Celtic Rangers. That's why I wrote them.
Oh, is that a Daniel Stendel signing?
Yeah. If you get this, I'll be. I mean, you always impress me.
Stendel was German, was he not?
I think so.
Oof, no, I'm out then. I thought he was Austrian.
Was he not?
Yeah, I thought he was. I was between the two. Let me.
Were you at
Hearts
after Stendel?
No, he's German.
Yeah,
a German at Hearts.
Really tough, that one.
Oh,
yeah, really tough. What, really tough.
I have no clue. I thought
obviously he's got. Oh, clearly he's long gone. That's German.
Oh, I don't even know. I don't even remember him being there.
The other one's Kilmarnock.
Alessio signed him.
Yeah,
Alessio.
By the way,
it's on the tip of my tongue.
By the way, if you can produce this.
Nah, if you've took it, on you go.
Is it Dario Del Fabbro?
It is Dario Del Fabbro. Yeah. Well done, right?
It was on the tip of my tongue as
one
well.
One to get, we'll try and get back to a couple of bits of business today. Your former club, Jan Danda, on a pre-contract from Ross County. Andy Halliday, what do you make of that? Good business?
Really good business, smart business. And again, linked with James Penrice is another one that I think would be very good business to get over the line. Jan Danda has been Ross County standout player ever since sort of Charles Cook left for Ventures in Belgium. I think this season he's been their standout player. And obviously a pre-contract in the summer, I thought was a no-brainer, especially after his 25-yard free kick into the top corner at Tynecastle. It just made sense.
You like that one, Roger?
Linked strongly with Scott Fraser at Charlton as well. Interesting to see what happens, whether any of that business can be done prior to the deadline, or whether Stephen Naismith's just happy to get them in pre-contracts and, you know, bring them over to the club in the summer. Will he get the iconic number 16 jersey at Tynecastle?
Good point, yeah.
Next
and any time, you were joking earlier on about, you know, getting the Halliday wage bill off the Tynecastle accounts, anytime there's sizable outlays, even if it's in pre-contract, it makes you wonder about where the money's coming from. Will there be a bid for Lauren Shankland before the window?
We nearly did it. We made it to 10-8 without floating the question. Great goal at the weekend.
It was. That's why I got my goal at the weekend. But I was also thinking on the lines of James Penrice, when they've got Alex Cochran and Stephen Kingsley already as left backs. What does that mean for Alex Cochran? The rumours that we've seen this week as well.
Rumours about him. Could be interesting. Let's take a look at some of the picture closer to the bottom of the league, and here are some very honest, as always, comments from Davey Martindale. You'll want to listen to this though, because it's not often we hear managers being so open with how they feel. He was emotional after the game, but he's saying today that he's adamant, no intention of quitting, because he doesn't believe a change of manager is what's required.
My underlying emotion at that point in time after that game is I would do anything anything. If I had the concrete knowledge that it would keep Livingston in the Premier League. Now, obviously, none of us have got that. None of us have got that foresight. You've seen teams change managers, they still get relegated. You've seen teams keep their managers, they still get relegated. You see teams keep their managers and they manage to stay up. So there's all these underlying thoughts and underlying emotions going through my head after the game. But I always try to be honest. So after the game, I would have at that moment in time, I'd have done anything to keep Livingston in the Premier League. You go back, you sit, you speak to the players, you speak to the staff in the changing room, in the office. I jumped back in my car, and as soon as I got back in that car, I was ready to go again. I came in yesterday, I'm ready to go again. I'm going to come out swinging. We're going to keep fighting. And up until match day 38, we're going to be sitting here and we're going to be fighting as a club, because that's where we are and that's what I'm all about. I'm not about jumping ship. I think personally I'd feel like a bit of a coward if I was to up sticks and leave the staff and the players that I brought into this club. I speak about the collective and we're all in it together. What would that say about my character and my personality if I was just to up sticks and leave?
I think what says more about his character is the comment he made a couple of weeks ago about not being able to afford players of Andy Halliday's quality. I must admit, Roger, we'll leave him out of it because it'll be too awkward for him, but you and I can have good fun on it. I heard an interview driving home Saturday and he was talking about, you know, really thinking about it, but no, he's back, he's bullish, he's going to come out swinging, he says. For a lot of people, Livy are gone already. Do you subscribe to that, or do you have faith that they can surprise you once again?
Tomorrow night at home to Ross County is Livingston's biggest game since they played in the League Cup final. They have an opportunity tomorrow night to close the gap on Ross County to 3 points. And at that stage, it would be game on in terms of survival. If they draw the game, you think 6 points is difficult to get back to that, even to that relegation playoff place, let alone St Johnstone and Motherwell above that. If they lose tomorrow night and go 9 points behind Ross County, I feel the game might be up for Livingston.
It's an interesting picture at the bottom, Andy. You and your teammates are nowhere near as far away from it as you would like. How did you find the weekend? I think by all accounts, everyone connected with it. Even the game, St Johnstone thought Motherwell probably should have won it. Is that fair? Is that encouraging? Or is that extra frustrating?
A bit of both, because I thought the performance levels were certainly there. I think individually and collectively, I thought it was a good performance, played really well. I think the majority of the first half certainly was played in St Johnstone's half, and then I think even better chances for us in terms of the second half. Harry Payton obviously has a couple of great chances towards the end of the game, Theo Bell in the first half, but obviously frustrating when you put that much effort and what we feel was a good quality performance into the game to not take away 3 points, especially when that has been something that we've not done enough of recently. But on the flip side, that's 4 unbeaten now, obviously since the turn of the winter break, starting off with the cup win against Alec at the weekend and then a point away at McDermott Park.
Is it at that stage of the season now? Because everybody gives us that cliche about we just focus on ourselves. You'll be keeping a very close eye on what happens in that game that Roger mentions tomorrow to see what the knock-on effects are.
Well, first and foremost, 100% concentrating yourself, because I know it is the cliche answer, but it's true. If you win 3 points at the weekend, then ultimately your position at the table will take care of itself. But of course, not only am I an avid fan of Scottish football, but when it's two teams that are sort of round about your area, you're going to watch it with added interest. So, going into the game tomorrow, I think it's two teams that have had difficult moments recently. I think Livingston, it's very hard to say that a team is hard done by when they lose 4-1 at home. But I think Livingston's performance wasn't a 4-1 defeat performance. Again, Davey lamented the terms of individual errors ultimately costing them. But also, the stat that you brought up at the start of the show in terms of missed penalties, I'd be amazed if anyone's missed more penalties in Livingston since the start of the season. Blimey. Celtic must be close.
Well, they're getting there, I think. Let's park that for the moment because we're almost out of time. We are asking these two, can you name 7 players, not including from the Republic of Ireland, who are overseas players being signed by a Premiership club in Scotland for a manager who's a fellow countryman? I know it sounds a lot, but Christopher Ayer was signed by Ronnie Dyla, Alves Candeias Cardoso by Caixinha, Dario Del Fabbro was signed by Angelo Alessio. There are two really tricky ones. That's one of them, as is the remaining one.
The German at heart, signed by Daniel Sendo.
I don't have that much on him, I must admit.
I'm out. This is the Hanarak.
No. Position.
Shares a surname with a famous German golfer. That's about all I've got.
Langer. Johnny Langer.
So we now know the guy's surname and we still can't get it.
I'm going to go Marcus.
Marcel.
Is it? It's Marcel.
Why? I just...
Great shout from you, Andy Halliday. Well done. Thank you to Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna. But really, it's all about thanking you. Thanks for listening, for calling and tweeting, keeping us company. We always appreciate it. And we are back tomorrow at 6. Gordon DL, Kenny Miller, big night in the Premiership. And we're getting much closer to the end of that transfer window. So make sure you join us at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Have a good night. And Callum Gallagher is up next.